Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the gospel lesson. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written. We were on vacation a few weeks back, driving along one of the roads. We came across a church with a peculiar name, and the name prompted my wife to ask the question, how many snakes had been handled in that church? There are indeed some churches where they bring in and handle poisonous snakes to do what they call exercising their faith. That's not how you exercise your faith. How you exercise your faith is by facing all the things that come along in this life, that come your way. How you exercise your faith is by turning back to the words and promises of God, to believe them and trust Him in the face of all the challenges. And that Word of God is absolutely central. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, I say it with variations. The Word of God is light-creating, life-giving, faith-creating, sin-forgiving, faith renewing, faith strengthening, grace giving, blessing conveying. It is that as the means of grace through which God gives us all of His blessings. So the Word of God guides us in what we do and guards us in what we face. And the Word of God is absolutely central. And through that Word of God, Adam and Eve had all of the blessings. Created in the image of God, given the world as their world to move around freely, the garden with every wonderful plant to eat, but one only, one tree that they should not eat of. And the challenge then, because faith has to be tested, faith does have to be tested. Because God has said, will we believe what God has said? In the absence of experiencing the consequences, would Adam and Eve believe that in the absence of experiencing the consequences? And the answer is no, they did not. They fell into sin. Oh, Adam and Eve, they did much worse than we would have, right? The devil comes to them and he says, has God said? I was just looking through Facebook and caught this little meditation. So the devil says, has God said you shall not eat of the trees of the garden? And in our day, God says, or in our day, the devil says, has God indeed said, you shall not hurt or harm your neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every physical need? Has God indeed said that? Has God indeed said that we should live a sexually pure and decent life and keep the sexual relationship only within marriage? Has God said that? Has God said that we should not lie about our neighbor or ruin his good name? Has God actually said that we should explain everything in the kindest way. Has God said that you should not covet? Has God said that? And along come the challenges. And the challenges surround us. Temptations and lures to this and that. That's the one side. Problems and difficulties in life. That's the other side. And with the temptations, we are lured to go chasing after them. With the problems and the difficulties in life, we are tempted to doubt the promises of God. And in that place that we drove by, as the wife asked, I wonder how many snakes have been handled here. That's not how you deal with the temptations. You deal with the temptations by turning back to the words and promises of God. Okay, so Jesus out in the wilderness, turning back to the words and promises of God. He's hungry, 40 days hungry. Try 40 hours. 40 days hungry. If you are the Son of God, well, he was. Command these stones to become loaves of bread. Well, he could have. But what Jesus does, I'm still amazed. This is still the most amazing part for me of the temptations of Jesus, that he who spoke the word of God throughout the Old Testament, giving commandments, leading the people of Israel out of the wilderness, sending the Holy Spirit to prophesy, that he who was the giver of the word of God then bows himself before the word of God to become obedient to the word of God and receive only what that word of God will give to him. And if that word of God has determined that he should continue the fasting, then he will turn right away from that temptation. Man does not live on bread alone. The Lord Jesus humbles himself under the word of God. And the second temptation, if you are the Son of God, they do something spectacular and they'll all believe in you right away. That's a paraphrase. No. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And he's not speaking about the devil tempting him and putting him to the test. He's speaking about him, again, taking his place under the word of God. Would have been so easy. There's the prophecy in the last book of the Old Testament. Then suddenly the Lord you seek will suddenly appear in the temple. It would be a fulfillment of prophecy, but no. There's a different path. And Jesus takes his place under the word of God. And the third one. All these kingdoms I will give you if you will bow down and worship me. And again, under the word of God. And so the word of God for Adam and Eve was blessing and life and sweetness and everything you can possibly imagine that God wished to pour out for them, everything good. for Jesus, the Word of God. That Word of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That was the Word of God to Jesus. For almost every one of our situations, temptation or troubles, turning back to the Word of God, because that Word of God promises blessing, blessing upon blessing upon blessing. For Jesus, turning back to that Word of God. Like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By his stripes we are healed. So faith has to be tested, right? Believing the words and promises of God has to be tested. Because what God calls us to is relating with him through his words and promises, and he invites us into that eternal relationship of the Word of God. And the testing is, will you endure and believe that the promises are there, though you don't see them right now for a season? For Jesus, will you believe that the words and promises of God are there? Will you believe that the blessings are there, even though you don't see them and the Word of God has turned into, my God, why have you forsaken me? Holds to those words and promises of God. He tests them out in the face of the absolute unthinkable. How far will the testing go? It will go all the way to the cross. And why does it have to go there? So that you and I, so that we can have a high priest able to sympathize with our weakness, one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin, one who, since he himself was tempted in that which he suffered, is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Now there's a new wrinkle in this believing the words and promises of God, isn't there? There's a new wrinkle to it, because it is not just like Adam and Eve believing it because the blessings are there and the blessings are to be trusted even though you don't see them for a while. Believing the words and promises of God means believing those words of God come to us where we have wandered off into sin. Those promises of God grab a hold of us and they call us back into the mercy of God. The words and promises of God, they come to us through Jesus and through his suffering, so that there is nobody, no matter how far they are from God, no matter what their life has been up to this point, point, no matter how they have rebelled against God, no matter how they have turned into sin, turned away to sin, that there is nobody that Jesus does not bring those words and promises to. He calls us. He calls us by going to where we are, forsaken. Calls us to, by going to where we are, hungry and abandoned. Calls us by going to where we are, confused and without a clear knowledge of right and wrong. And he brings words and promises of God. There was a fellow just a few moments or hours from death who heard those words and promises of God, and in the believing of them received a promise. Yeah, it's that guy. Today you will be with me in paradise. And Jesus pulls him out of eternal darkness back into the blessings, and the words and promises of God start flowing to him forever. And that's how sweet it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.